But over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at the book of Nehemiah. A church for such a time as this has been our title. And often, whenever we think about Nehemiah, we think about the man who built the walls. And that's kind of what we log in our head. Nehemiah built walls. That's kind of what we teach to our children. It's what we hear about most in the story of Nehemiah. But yet there's so much more. And so we're at chapter 8 in the book of Nehemiah, so we're kind of past the building of the walls bit, and we're into some of the stuff that we don't normally hear about in Nehemiah, but we're going to hear today the importance of what of God's word as well. And so before we come, let's just pray together. Father God, we thank you that you're a God who is alive and who is active, and that your word is alive and active as well. So we come before your word in this moment. May it speak truth deep into our hearts and into the very depths of our beings, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 8. I'm going to read some of it, beginning at verse 1. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. And so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they'd made for the purpose. And beside him stood Matthias, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Messiah, and his right hand Padiah, Mishael, Masalagek, Hazam, Hazabadana, Zechariah, Methusalem, and on his left hand, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshu, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akubi, lots of these other people, happened to be with Nehemiah, and they helped the people to understand the law, while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, this is a holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine. Send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord, and not to be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So Levites calmed all the people, saying, be quiet, for this day is holy, do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, and they sent portions to make great rejoicing, because they'd understood the words that were declared to them. So this title, if you like, a church for a time like this. God's people are gathered at specific times for specific purposes. So the church in the nation in Nehemiah's time was gathered for a purpose. And God knew the purpose, and he gathered the right people at the right time to do his work. The same as we are gathered as God's church in this place for a purpose right here, right now. And today in chapter 8, we're going to really hear the effect that God's word has whenever we truly hear it and receive it. I don't know about you, but maybe you find yourself in a particular situation, a circumstance, or a situation of life. Someone sends you a text or a WhatsApp message or on Messenger, or maybe they send you an email, or maybe they've just drawn alongside you and put their arm around you, and they have no clue what's going on in your life, yet they're able to say something and then share a verse of Scripture. And whenever that verse of Scripture comes into your mind, it speaks truth into that situation. It changes your perspective. It brings encouragement or challenge. But that little piece of Scripture, God's word, not known by the person that sent it, but known by God, speaks into your very situation and brings a difference. God's word changes the situation because God's word brings truth. Listen to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. And so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly. Both men and women and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, and he read from it. God's word brings truth, because God's word's eternal. It's the boundary by which we live our lives. It's the post, the marker by which we return to see what is right and what is wrong. God's word brings truth into our situation. You see, Nehemiah built these walls. And that's often, as I said before, the bit that we focus on. Nehemiah builds the walls. But you see, towards the end of chapter 6 and chapter 7, Nehemiah has finished the walls, the gates have been secured, and now the city, the temple has been rebuilt inside it, the houses of the people are being rebuilt, and so the city has been gathered together. God's people are being brought back from exile, and now the city is now secure. Nehemiah, in a sense, in Nehemiah's head, and to the rest of the world watching him, they must have thought, well, he's completed what he was told to do. He was told to come out of exile and build the walls. And even though there was opposition to them and there was a rumor mill going to try to stop him, he continued on, he created a team, and he built the walls. And so there must have been a little point in Nehemiah's life where he thought, that's my bit done. Thank you. It's over to somebody else. But you see, in chapter 7, verse 5, we hear these words. Nehemiah said, "Then God put it into my heart." After Nehemiah had secured the city with the walls and the gate, God placed something in his heart. And in that moment, Nehemiah understood that actually it wasn't about building the walls. Building the walls was the visible thing that everybody could see. It was the reason God used Nehemiah to call him back out of exile to God's people. But Nehemiah has now been made the governor of Judah. Nehemiah now has a position in the land. Nehemiah is there for such a time as this, and God places in his heart what he is really to do. Not just phase two, but actually almost the purpose of Nehemiah's life. And the purpose of Nehemiah's life, here it comes. God's people were in exile for hundreds of years. They hadn't heard God's word. It hadn't been read over them. They hadn't celebrated the feasts. They hadn't listened to the law. They hadn't adhered to the things that they were supposed to do because they'd never heard God's word. And God sets in Nehemiah's heart. He established a priest called Ezra. And you can read all about that in the book of Ezra, just before Nehemiah. And what happens? Nehemiah and Ezra set about reading God's word over God's people. And transformation happens. Because God's word brings truth. And so the nation of Israel, having not heard God's word read aloud for decades and for centuries, all of a sudden hear it and go, "Oh, wow, I get it, I hear it." That's what the Lord calls us to also in the book of Timothy, chapter 6. "Teach and urge these things," he says. "If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicion, and constant friction among the people who are depraved of mind and depraved of truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain, but godliness with contentment is great gain, because we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out." God's word brings truth into our situation, into our circumstances. But are you attentive? Are you listening? Not to me. It's amazing what you can see from the front. Are you attentive to God's word? Because listen to what happened whenever Ezra and Nehemiah began to read God's law over the people. And they read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Are you attentive to the word of God? Or does it go in this ear and out that one? Because that's easy to do. How do you prepare yourself to come before God's word? On a daily basis. Is there a time in the day that you know you've carved out that says, this is my time with God. I'm going to listen to what his word says into my life for this moment and for this day. How do you prepare yourself to come to worship God, to meet the King of Kings collectively as a church on a Sunday? Is it through the hassle and the frizzle of trying to get out on a Sunday morning? Or is there a moment of quietness and stillness as you prepare your heart to be responsive to what God might do in this place at this time? Are you attentive to God's word? And one thing's for sure, if you're not reading it, you're not going to hear what it says. What's God's will for my life? What purpose does God have for me? What will I do with my life? What does God say in this situation? Those are all fantastic questions, but if you're not systematically reading God's word and seeking those answers in the everyday, whenever you do that in the everyday, he will shout loudly into your life. You will hear from him because his word is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates to the very bone. Nehemiah and Ezra did this in a purposeful manner. Listen to verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they'd made for the purpose. Maybe he was a wee bit small like me, I don't know. But they made a wooden platform to stand on. Why? Because they knew that they were going to speak God's word over God's people. They knew that in reading of God's word, everybody should listen and be attentive, and it would transform their situation. And whenever that happened, whenever Ezra stood on the platform, whenever Ezra began to read the law of the Lord in verse 4, if you read into verse 5 and 6, what happens? All the people stood. Now, it's only my bit of interpretation, but that's, in a sense, means that they were all sitting before that, because they stood, right? But if you're sitting in a crowd, and the crowd's all bunched together, because remember, they're in a little square just outside the gate. Everybody's bunched together. You can't quite hear as well as if you stood. You stand up tall and straight, you begin to listen. They change their posture, because they knew what was coming was important. Whenever they changed their posture and they heard the word of God, at the end of verse 6, what happens to them? They fall on their face and they worship God. Because God's word changes their situation. And that little nugget in verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isn't that great? The joy of the Lord is your strength. That doesn't mean to say that there's never going to be a difficult time or a hard time or a time whenever you don't feel joyful all of the time. Of course there will be. But what it does mean is that whenever the joy of the Lord, whenever you understand and know that God is sovereign, that God is in control, that God's word speaks into your situation, there's a moment, no matter what comes at you, that you can realize he's sovereign. He's got it. He's in control. It's not just about me. The Lord's hand is not too short to work in this situation. And so there's a sense of, it's okay. God is in it. You see, whenever Ezra read the law of the Lord over the people, he did something that was very important. You find that in the second half of the chapter that we didn't read today, in verses 13 through to 18. He called and he read them aloud what the Israelites used to do. It's called the Festival of the Booths. It's a part of the law of Moses. That at the end of the harvest time, whenever the Israelites, the nation of God, had harvested everything that they had and they tithed it back, they gave back their tenth to the Lord, they would then have what they call the Festival of the Booths, the Festival of Tabernacles, the Festival of the Booths. And they would celebrate and they would give thanks to God for all that he has given to them. There's something a wee bit strange in a sense, because think about it. The temple's been rebuilt. People's houses have been rebuilt around the temple. Nehemiah has come back and built the walls and secured it with gates. And just after all of that's complete, what are they asked to do? To go outside the city and get branches from all kinds of trees and leaves from everything else and make tents to stay in. Hold on a minute, Nehemiah, we just built a city. Put a big wall around it and secured it. What? Tents? They didn't question it, actually. It doesn't say here they questioned it, because the word of the Lord was read, their ears were attentive, and they'd done what it was said. They made tents on the rooftops of their houses. Why? Because that's what God commanded them to do. Why? Read on into the book of Nehemiah, you will know that God did this at this moment in the nation of Israel, so the other nations around them would look in and go, what the heck are yous at? And they would say, hold on a minute. We're doing this to remember what God has done for us. The nation of Israel is now able to call the past into the present. And able to say that in the Lord's faithfulness, he released us from slavery in Egypt. In the Lord's faithfulness, every year after our harvest, even though we give back to him, we still have enough for ourselves. And so the nation of Israel now has a standpoint, because of the word of the Lord, they have a standpoint to proclaim their God to the nations around them. And in a few moments, we're going to celebrate around the Lord's table. We're going to call his past, once complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and we're going to remember it. We'll remember what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me right here, right now. We're calling the faithfulness of God, his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, the past, into our lives in the present. That's what God's word does for us. That's what we're called to do. And whenever we do that, we have a firm foundation to stand on right here, right now, no matter what else happens to us. And remember, the book of James says that if we are double-minded, if we're not listening to the word of the Lord, we are tossed to and fro like a ship on the seashore. But if we are attentive to the word of the Lord and we know his faithfulness from the past, we call it into the present and it's a foundation in which to stand and proclaim that even though this is happening to me at the moment, even though this is happening around me at the moment, my God is faithful and true and his word tells me this. So are you listening to God's word? God's word changes circumstances. See, in verse 9 tells us whenever God's word is read, the people weep. That's after they've stood and fallen on their faces, then they start weeping. We look at chapter 9, tells us that they're now called into a place of repentance before the Lord. They get themselves right as a nation before God. In chapter 10, they begin to tithe, they begin to give back to the Lord so that the Lord was known among all the nations that are around them. God's word always speaks into our situation. But are you attentive? Are you listening to it? Are you ready to receive from it? Some days that will be a massive challenge. And other times that will be an extreme comfort. But God's word will always speak truth. And in a world that no longer knows what truth is, that's good news. That's good news. So we're going to pause. And we're going to allow ourselves a moment of quietness to allow God's word to speak into our hearts before we come before his table.